Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News, where on this podcast channel, I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further
today,
encourage girls.
On episode 77.
One advice kind of made the biggest sense to me, or if I look back at my career, what was instrumental for me, and I really advise this to whoever I'm coaching, mentoring, or having a conversation with, is choosing correctly, right? Like, that's a very big decision. Choosing your next job, choosing your team, choosing what you work on. Like, that's a very strategic decision, because oftentimes we, like, when we're early in our careers, we don't have the liberty to choose and we have to pick whatever comes our way, right? But sometimes we get used to that because we're afraid of failures. So instead of like really single-mindedly pursuing a certain job and being okay with getting rejected multiple times or waiting on it to come along, we go with what came our way, right? And then that might not be the right stepping stone towards where you want to go, but that's what you take.
Today on episode 77, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Ushashi Chakraborty. As the startup founder and CEO currently in stealth mode, not only is she a seasoned leader in the workforce, but has received special recognition as well. Listed on Women Worth Watching 2021 by Profiles Diversity Journal, and previously Vice President of Engineering at Wisely, and also the continued Head of Engineering for the Engagement and Operations Business Unit at Olo, she is a seasoned speaker who has spoken at several conferences and panels, including the Grace Hopper Convention in 2019, a frequent podcast guest enthusiast, and company events. On the side, she's been involved with improv since 2015 and frequently has shows and stand-ups across several small theaters in Chicago. So thank you so much, Ushashi, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, thank you so much, Arna, for having me. I'm so excited to be talking to you. Yes, you did a great job with my introduction. Yes, Ushashi here. I've been involved in engineering and many software engineering in many different ways for several years now. And my entire career, academia, after high school has all been in the software engineering sort of thing. The only different thing that I did for a few years was improv, but it's been a while that I did that. But let's get started.
Perfect. So my first question for you is, tell us a bit about your career path.
Awesome. Yeah. So after high school, I started with going to engineering college. This was in India, which is where I grew up. And I started with computer engineering for my bachelor. So that was 4 years that time. And then I moved to the US for my master's, and I did computer science from North Dakota State University. And it was great fun, a lot of learning, like 6 years of school overall. And then after that, I got my first full-time job at Microsoft in Fargo, North Dakota. And I worked as a software engineer there for a few years. After that, I moved to Chicago, and I was there for 5+ years. I worked at Groupon. That was actually a huge learning experience. Like, if I try to think of like turning points in my career, it started around that time, because up until then it was more like building fundamentals of learning software engineering, which is great, very, very needed. But it was at Groupon that I got to do multiple different things and ultimately found where my sweet spot is, what I enjoy, like in terms of domain, in terms of language, in terms of technical stuff, and in terms of my own role. So yeah, that was Groupon. Then I moved in 2018 to the Bay Area. I started at a startup called Mode Analytics, and I was there for a couple of years, a little more than that. I moved from director of engineering to senior director of engineering. I became manager of managers there as well. And then after that was Wisely, where I was running all of engineering. At Wisely, it was a small startup, and then we exited through acquisition by Olo, like you were mentioning, a couple of years back. And I stayed on for another year at Olo, setting up that business unit, the engineering, like scaling it, building it. It was a great experience. I was head of engineering for that particular business unit. And recently, like you also mentioned, I left and have started pursuing a long-term dream, something that I have always wanted to do, which is like start something of my own. And I have an amazing co-founder. We have been heads down working and building our MVP. It was a while that I had been coding, but now it's I'm back to the roots, and it's great fun. We are building the MVP. It is in stealth mode right now, but hoping to share it with the world soon.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, I love how you learned so many amazing things, you know, from Microsoft to Groupon to Wisely. You know, you had a lot of different learning opportunities and experiences and roles. And, you know, you kept on pushing through, finding whatever you wanted to do, and, you know, just kept on learning. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So my question for you is, what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? And do you have any tips to succeed?
Yeah. Great question. So yeah, there are many tips. There are many advice that one could come up with. But since your question is particularly towards somebody that wants to pursue a career similar to mine, I think if one advice kind of made the biggest sense to me, or if I look back at my career, what was instrumental for me, and I really advise this to whoever I'm coaching, mentoring, or having a conversation with, is choosing correctly, right? Like, that's a very big decision. Choosing your next job, choosing your team, choosing what you work on. Like, that's a very strategic decision, because oftentimes we, like when we're early in our careers, we don't have the liberty to choose and we have to pick whatever comes our way, right? But sometimes we get used to that because we are afraid of failures. So instead of like really single-mindedly pursuing a certain job and being okay with getting rejected multiple times or waiting on it to come along, we go with what came our way, right? And then that might not be the right stepping stone towards where you want to go, but that's what you take. And a good way to kind of explain this is an analogy that I use. So think of actors, right? Like actors that are working in movies. When you look at an actor's career, if they have worked for 20 plus years, the success of that actor not just lies in their talent, but it also lies in the movies they chose, right? If they chose the correct kind of movie that showcases their talent or has the great story that connected with people, which is why people watched that movie, and then, you know, the movie became a success, and as a byproduct, the actor got to be well known. Those are strategic decisions. So it is not just the talent and just the hard work for the actors. It is also the strategic choice of every movie that they have selected. It's similar when you look at your career in any probably sort of domain and the long term of it, right? Like how you're making those choices along the career outside of your talent, outside of your skills, outside of your hard work is also super instrumental. So I think going by my own career, that has been the biggest instrumental factor for me. And I try to advise that to people.
Yeah, because when you're a new student, or, you know, you're a recent graduate, you always try to get the thing that's in front of you, but the best thing to do is to be practical about what you're choosing, because, you know, it's like this really cool analogy that, you know, your life or your career journey is like a mountain. Once you get onto one hill, there's going to be a hill in front of you, and there's going to be another hill, and then so on. So it kind of depends on your success, kind of depends on like the types of roles you choose. So trying to be practical about it and be strategic about what you're choosing that's ahead of you can really help you set up your success for the future.
Yes, 100%. I love that mountain analogy as well. Yeah.
Yes. So my question for you is, what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
Yeah, very interesting question. So there is actually a myth that, very interestingly, there are contradictory myths, like the same ideology has contradictory beliefs, and both of them, I think, are slightly wrong. One being that one can learn coding super fast and one can jump in very quickly, and the other being coding is for super intelligent people and you have to be seriously so good at this, that, like whatever, analytical skills, math, or whatever these myths are, right? So both are like contradictory to each other. One is saying that, oh, the barrier is very low, anyone can do this, and the other is saying the barrier is super high and it's very hard and you can't get it. Both of them, I think, are wrong. And both can be dangerous if you believe it believe it fully. So I do think just learning how to build a web page or a certain, like, you know, depending on what you want to do, is a low barrier thing. You can go to boot camps, you can, like, I have a traditional whole bachelor's and master's and done, but you don't need to go through all of that to actually learn this stuff, especially in today's age where you have so many resources, from boot camps to tutorials, tutorials online, and then of course ChatGPT world and all of that, right? So there's so much resource, people, all of that you can leverage and you can learn. But the place where it's like to be really good technically and have a long career in it, you do at some point need to understand the fundamentals, the things that today's code is built on, right? Going back to those roots and understanding each piece is going to what makes you have a very successful long career in the, like, an engineer, software engineer traditional form, like if you want to, you know, follow that. So while it is, you can learn something quickly, to persevere and pursue it for a long term, I think it's important to kind of put the time and energy there. And then the other side, if I'm bad at math, I can't do this. No, I think, firstly, intelligence is a heavy term, because intelligent can be, you know, has different meanings, different connotations. In different situations, I can be very intelligent or I can be super dumb. So that happens. So it's like, it doesn't come down to be somebody has to be this. That's how they're going to find success. And the second piece is software developer job itself has so many varieties and flavors to it, right? There's so many different kinds of software development that you can find your place of, like, being in this world and being good at it. So yeah, this is definitely, like, you don't need to be a certain way. This is what you want to do, you'll figure out a way to get in and do well.
Yeah, I mean, because in STEM or even in coding in general, because there's, like, two different big myths, that one, it's for, like, the big nerdy guys, and two, it's, like, the easiest thing you can do with all the resources. But both of them are so wrong, because I'll address the first one right now, that coding is only for the big nerdy guys, because there are so many resources out there. There's ChatGPT, there's YouTube, there's Stack Overflow, so many amazing resources that can really help you, you know, get your feet dirty. But at the same time, when people say that coding is really easy and there's, like, a low barrier, I feel like that's a bit of a myth, because coding isn't just coding. It's, like, problem solving and being logical. And if you don't have those fundamentals down, you're going to have a rocky path. So trying to get those fundamentals, and once you're there, you know, focus on the next thing that's going to help you. Because a lot of people, like, for me specifically, I can speak from this from experience. A lot of beginners, they look at the next new hot thing that a lot of other, you know, more experienced people are doing. So they get really intimidated or discouraged when they can't do that, because they aren't focused on the fundamentals. But if coding isn't your specific niche, there are so many other different sectors alongside with it. You can merge, you know, education and computer science and fashion. It's just 1,000 different possibilities.
I love your thoughts, Arna. So true. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I couldn't agree. Couldn't agree more. And to just one additional point, as you were talking about, like, coding is for the big guys, and, like, you know, that is very true. Like, that sort of, like, deters, you know, women from taking that up. There is also, like, I'll speak a little bit from my own experience, that even if I was surrounded in certain points of my life, whether in class or something, with, like, other women who were programmers or who were in the same class, I somehow found myself not as sharp or quick as them to learn things. So it was not just the gender level of things, but it was also like the, oh, even the women are, you know, like they are so good at this, right? Like, I should I continue on this journey or not? And that's why going back to that, the stuff you said with, it's a big role and everybody has their own journey. For some, it takes more time. I didn't know that time, but I have some dyslexia, which is why there were certain things with data structures, which took me time to grasp, where my classmates would be faster in class to learn that. But over the number of years, because of my love for the craft and ultimately, like, you know, really finding my own feet over time, it's something that I know how to manage and how to kind of quickly get to it. So you're not competing with anybody, but if you really want to be in this field, you will make your way in. Yeah.
Absolutely, because you should try finding your passion within STEM, because don't just try to get into the field because other people are doing it. That's gonna not set you up for success, but try to find some actual passion that can really discipline you along the way when you're trying to learn what you're trying to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And if you could step into my shoes or a younger self, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
Well, first off, I have to say that if I step myself into your shoes, I'd be so happy, because I was not thinking of all the things you are thinking right now. So I wish I wish I had that sort of maturity. To answer your question, I would say that I would ask myself, what is it that I would do if I wasn't afraid and if I had all the resources in the world? Like, what is the singular thing that I would go and pursue and persevere through it if I had all the resources and I wasn't afraid to do that, right? And once I identify, and I say it with those two buckets of like, what would make me afraid and why am I not doing it? Because that gives me understanding of like where my fears are. It could be like, I don't feel like I'm good enough. It could be like feeling judged. It could be, this is way too hard. It could be a myriad of different reasons. And then the other one being, if I had all the resources in the world, because I don't right now, once I identify what are those resources that I need, I can work towards these two things, right? I can work on, that is a much more self journey of like addressing my fears, figuring out where they're coming from, why are these fears, that could be personal, that could be like so many different things. And then addressing the resources is like finding the network of like, what am I going to do to bring myself these resources? Because when that happens, that I'm no longer afraid and I have the resources, you are able to step into that journey.
I love that, because it's a really great introspection tool that you kind of figure out, or you're trying to envision yourself that, oh, if I had all of these resources, then what can I do? But if I also don't have those resources, how can I implement them? And how can I remove these shortcomings and kind of guide myself towards success? I really love that. I'm going to definitely implement that. I never thought about it that way.
That's awesome. Thank you. Actually, to give a personal example here, I had, like I was saying at the beginning of our chat, that I had always wanted to start my own company, right? And I have been in the US for 15-ish years now. But it's taken me these 15 years to get here, right? But I always knew this is what I wanted to do, right? And this is what I wanted to go for. But there were barriers. There were these kind of things that I needed to address that were coming from fears, like, you know, ensuring my personal state of things back home in India are fine. I have money enough to set that up for success, like with family and stuff, right? There were other factors here, and, you know, taking that risk and making sure I'm fine with that. So there were, once I identified what my fears were, I could work towards that particular dollar amount or particular thing that I needed to get over my fear. And then coming to the resources aspect, there's always going to be skill set gap, right? There is no, like, most startups fail, right? So even with the biggest of best of skills, there's no guarantee it's going to succeed. But you need to feel confident that I'm ready for this journey. So I wasn't there, like, in the past several years. So I had to figure out where the gap is, like, why am I not feeling confident to go on this journey now? And then I would pick jobs, or I would surround myself with mentor or network that where I could learn and start closing those gaps. Again, I have gaps today too, but at least I felt confident enough that I could go on that journey, right? So thinking of those in those two framework of fears, and what would you do if you are not afraid, and then what would I do if I had all the resources in the world, helps to identify what I need, and then what is it that's stopping me, my internal sort of fears.
Yeah, and I just wanted to let everyone know that this type of introspection is not supposed to be done overnight. Like, you can't identify all of your shortcomings in like just 24 hours. It could be your whole life or your whole career. It's not, you know, a one-night success.
100%. Yes, it takes a lot of self-reflection, self-awareness, introspection to come up with it. And that takes time, that takes knowing yourself. Yes, for sure.
Yes. And what are the best resources / books that have helped you find your career path?
Yeah, so actually the first two, I don't have exact names of books, but I would just suggest that people that are entering or in this space kind of find a good book that that addresses these topics. The first being like any good algorithm book, right? Like data structures, code complexity, and that sort of thing. Like I still have a good one that I will often go back to. And then the next being any good book on system design, like system abstraction, system design sort of things. Because as you're coding and once you become get into more senior roles, you're thinking of things in much more system sort of way. And it's important to understand trade-offs and like all of those things. Outside of those two very like technical sort of suggestions, the next two are more related to management, like engineering management, if you're in that sort of sphere of world. One is Radical Candor. That is a great book of giving feedback that is useful. I love that. Like, I love the framework it sets, because oftentimes people could have a tendency of being quite harsh with the feedback, and that does more damage. And the opposite side, there's also like, oh, I'm feeling so bad to give you this constructive feedback that I've sugarcoated it so much that you did not even understand that I was giving you feedback, right? So finding that balance and how to practice it is key for not just managers, senior engineers who are coaching junior engineers, all sorts of leaders in the industry. The next one, there is not too many books on strategizing organization designs. And one that I really like is Elegant Puzzle by Will Larson. It's great. And the last two are personal ones that I'll just suggest for anybody going through similar journey as I was. So it's nothing related to technical or software. So the first one is Open by Andre Agassi. He was one of the awesome, greatest tennis players of his time. And it's his autobiography, and it goes into like what I really related to was that he was working super hard, and he was, you know, putting in all the hours and doing everything, so much so that he started not liking what he does, right? He didn't like playing tennis, and that's the theme of the thing, because he's like, oh, I'm not just succeeding where I want to be. And then ultimately falling in love with the craft. And when that happens, then like the pressure goes away, and then you are starting to succeed. And I related a lot to that. A lot of my journeys early in my career was somewhat that way. And focusing on what is it that I love about the craft and relieving all that pressure off me was very helpful. And the final is Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. I think it was a great understanding of like successful people you know, some opportunities that are deserving, some opportunities that are undeserving, and how success actually comes about. And that, again, gave me a good perspective on like how to think about where I want to be and how to plan that and how to can pursue and bring people in that can help me get there, right? So.
Absolutely. I love that. I mean, I love the books that you said. I'll definitely check them out. But about radical candor, about feedback, I'm one of those people that's really stubborn about feedback. So if you give me feedback, it's a bad habit, but I'll get really sad about what you're saying. So I guess I can definitely relate.
Awesome. Yeah, that's always, you know, receiving feedback, giving feedback are both hard things to do. I don't think you get one can be like, I am so good at giving feedback. It's always a learning in progress, and it's always like adjusting on the basis of that.
Yes. And my question for you is, what do you think is a vital factor that shaped your career? What was your life before learning it? And what was your life after learning it?
Yeah, one of the biggest factors I think I mentioned of like, if somebody wants to pursue a journey similar to mine is like, learning that failure and success is part of the game, and then not being too excited with the success and failure, not letting yourself get too disappointed with it, because the vital factor that shaped my career was identifying what I want to do, what I want to pursue. And sometimes that was a stretch, right? To give a proper example, when I was seeking a director of engineering role, basically a manager of manager sort of role, I felt that I was ready because of some of the opportunities that I had gotten in my in the company at that time, right? And I was pursuing this outside, but my title was still engineering manager. I was doing a bunch of work that made me feel confident, and I could see that I could work with various teams, strategize, and those sort of things. I felt ready. But yeah, when I went out for interviews, there was rejection after rejection after rejection after rejection, right? So at one point, it was more like, yeah, everything I take very clinically. I take a rejection, I figure out what I can do to hone better. But despite the many number of them, I did not take it personally, right? And the same goes with success or anything that's great. Like I try to understand, again, clinically what caused to that so that I can repeat some of those behaviors. But it's not like, okay, this is great, and like I don't have to look back up on this, right? That sort of a thing. So I think that's the most vital factor, that attitude, that temperament has been the most vital. And it's hard because we are humans, so rejections are not you know, they're not easy, right? And then same goes with success, right? If you worked and persevered so hard at something and you get somewhere, you want to take the time to enjoy that. I mean, like, okay, like, let's retrospect this and figure out what caused it and go forward. So we're humans, and it's okay to feel that way, but kind of training and coaching yourself to be clinical about the two and treating success and failure similar has been very instrumental in my journey.
Absolutely. Like, don't take what's happening to heart. Don't take it too personal, because failures, of course, they're going to suck, but they're all part of the journey. And success, that's just like the opposite of, you know, the failure. You know, although failures might be something that bring you down, there's still something that you can learn from it. So don't take that too personal, and, you know, just keep fighting on.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, and because we have some additional time, my question for you is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career path?
Yeah, I was alluding to it a little bit when I mentioned Andre Agassi's book on book Open. I talked about, you know, having too much pressure early on in my career. And that came from a thing of like, I hadn't understood my own strengths and did not wasn't super self-aware. So I was at my first job, and I have fears, and you know, the pressure is coming from an external sort of expectation that we all need to follow the same path. You're an engineer one or fresh grad who has joined as an engineer one. You 1 to 2 years, you're expected to move up this level. Another 1 to 2 years or 2 to 3 years, you're expected to move at this level. And you have peers that could be moving up faster or whatever. And that's how pressure that gets added, right? And that's where, like, oh, I might have taken computer science back in the day from after high school because of the love of it. But now when there is so much pressure of like, I'm working all the time, yet why is it so hard? That's where you start, you know, it's easy to fall out of love, right? So I think I wish at that point I had known that everyone has their own journey and you have to play to your strengths and identify what your strengths are. Every human is unique, so in that way every engineer will be unique. Everybody has unique strengths, and there's a reason we are a team, because a team is comprised of different individuals with different strengths and different weaknesses, and we play to each other's strengths. So if you identify your own strengths and play to those strengths, and then identify your gaps or weaknesses and close them enough such that you're not going to crash and burn, right? And ensure it's taken you're giving it that much value, but your weaknesses are not never going to become your inherent strengths, right? So instead of focusing there, focusing identifying where your strengths are and playing to that was super super you know, important for me to relieve that pressure that I had put on myself in the first beginning years of my career.
I love that, play your strengths and identify them, because, you know, everyone's journey is different. I feel like as students, you're all kind of huddled up in a bunch. So if one person's doing well, then you should be, then you're going to think that, oh, if they're doing well, I have to do well. If something's wrong with me, then it's probably not wrong with them. And you start to compare yourselves, but you just have to play your strengths, figure out what you're strong at, and just, you know, go with those.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And my last question for you before we end off this interview is, how do you continue to learn in order to stay on top of things within your role?
Yeah, so, you know, everybody has different ways that they learn and they do good at learning. People have books, tutorials, blogs. For me, I do leverage those, but the best way that I learn is from people. So as I was talking about my own, identifying my own strengths and gaps, I also do that with people that are close to me in terms of like my colleagues or my team or my co-founder, for example, friends in the community, and those sort of things, and figure out their you know, unique strengths and learn from them. And that is very conversational. For example, we are having this fantastic conversation and I'm learning so much from you through that, right? So when I identify something that like I want to learn, and there is a person that I'm working with who's really good at that, so I take that opportunity, those conversations, to learn more about that aspect. So that's my best way of learning to remain on top of things. Yeah,
well, thank you so much, Ushashi, for being here. Before we end off, do you have any last words to the audience?
I know this was a great conversation, Arna. Thank you so much again for inviting me. I think we had a great exchange of thoughts, and I hope that listeners get something good out of it. And thanks again.
Thank you. Bye. And here are my 3 cents on this episode with Ushashi. 1, strategic choices. Learning to make strategic choices is crucial, as it can involve understanding how to prioritize your time, resources, and efforts to achieve your goals effectively. 2, finding your place and expertise. Discovering your unique strengths and interests can be a powerful guide in shaping your path. Being good at something and finding your place in the world can lead to a more fulfilling and successful journey. And 3, embracing failure and success. Acknowledging that both failure and success are integral parts of the journey is a valuable mindset. Embracing failure as a learning opportunity and understanding that success often comes with challenges can contribute to resilience and growth. Thus, that concludes the episode for this week. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. A free way to support this show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show, and it helps others discover it too. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Dito, you're listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arna's News. Toodles!